Brett. Jeff, I'm in.
Hey, Fred. Jeff Quiggy's here.
Good morning, everybody. This is Fred Meissner with the 1015 technical market call for the Fred Report on August 12th. Obviously, we've had some interesting market action over the last couple of days, and let's go into what it actually means. First of all, yesterday's trading, even though we failed at resistance, when you look at the short-term patterns, actually was a little bit better than it looked. And the reason is, when you're going to have a real decline intraday when you watch very short-term charts like 5-minute charts and 10-minute charts, you have a down open and you have several rally attempts that fail and then make a lower close, usually lower than that open. While we did close lower than the open yesterday, it was more of just a slow, gradual drop. In other words, there wasn't a huge amount of selling interest after the open. There was just no buying interest, and that can be a concern. But what I've seen is a couple of days where you gap down like this, and then you rally and fill all the gaps. So there's a gap on the S&P that needs to be filled that's in the 107-106 area. I don't want to see the SPY close below 107, but it could trade below 107. And I think, in fact, may have already traded below 107 today. Let me take a quick look and see that. No, 107.60 was the low today so far on the spider. Much below 107.106 closing basis, the market could be icky. And I'm telling everybody to keep using risk management and watch, because we are technically coming out of an overbought on the stochastic on the S&P, and we are also technically in a downtrend, which means lower highs and lower lows, which means we could go and challenge that 102 area and or exceed it on the downside. Right now, honestly, I think looking at the indicators and such, that would be a surprise to me, but nonetheless, it is possible, and so we have to acknowledge that possibility and use risk management and be a little bit careful. What could be happening here, and what I'm actually leaning towards happening here, and we'll write about this next Monday, depending on how the next couple of days go, is the idea that we're going to build a fairly complex right shoulder here, with the lows of that right shoulder being the 107-106 area, and the highs of it obviously being 112-113, and then exceed that later. I do not think there is a single analyst out there that doesn't think we're going to fall into October, because, quote-unquote, we always fall into October. And, yeah, obviously, if everybody's right, the market's going to go down a whole bunch, but usually everybody isn't right. So we just have to see. We have been cutting our risk. You've seen us sell, for conference call level subscribers, which we all are, you've seen us sell some stocks. We got stopped out of BB&T today for a loss. We got stopped out of the Qs yesterday for a profit. We've got a nice profit still on CVX. That stock actually is positive today and may go and hit our short-term target of 80, at which point we will remove it from our list. But we're actually, at first blush yesterday, things looked pretty terrible, and admittedly they could get bad, but in terms of the way we were trading in stocks, actually things look a little bit better than expected. Looking at the TLT here, bonds, we've had a number of questions on bonds. Until the TLT goes through 103, this still looks like we're building a top to me. We're actually up in the upper end of the range where we've been at 101.82. I believe the high on this market was a sell day back on July 1st at 102.66. And I need to see this market go through 103 before I'm positive on it. I note once again that the LQD, which has broken out earlier, is now down in spite of the TLT being up. The HYG, which is high yield, is actually down a little bit. And BWX, the international bonds, are actually down a little bit. And that's actually an area of interest to me. The BWX between 57 and 56 actually looks kind of attractive. The reason for that is I've been looking for the euro to pull back to 127 to 126, maybe 125, but really 127, 126, and then rally again. And the euro is coming down and looking like it's starting to get a little bit oversold. So given that, these international bonds may actually be a place to go and look for yield. Looking at commodities, the DBC, our favorite commodity index, all it's done here is come back down and test the 22 support area, which it broke down out of. We could see these commodities start to turn up. Their stochastic is in the middle of the range. Some more sideways time will bring all these stochastics back down into the 20 area, and we notice that we still have positive moving average systems on these things. So, including the stock indexes, by the way. So we have to be looking at this still as an uptrend, albeit a short-term correction within a short-term uptrend. It's a mixed technical picture on the commodities. Gold is looking like it's heading back up. Oil has tested down to support. Note that the USO has basically held 34 so far. Support on that is 34, 33 and a half, 34. Much below that, we'd have some concern, but this is not a really bad chart pattern. Looking at, we mentioned the dollar, and we'll take a quick look at the UUP since that's what many of you quote. 24 to 24.50 is pretty much where we think the UUP can go in our most optimistic case, and we're at 23.98 already, so we may see these currency markets start to turn around. If that happens, I think that stock indexes are also probably going to turn around a little bit as well. Now, let's take a look at some of the individual stocks that we have. We've had some questions on United Technologies. When can you buy it back? We're looking at a place to buy that stock back. As you know, we sold it at 73.50. I think if that stock can retrace to and hold 69, we'll take a look at it there again. CVX remains on our trading list. As I mentioned earlier, it's actually positive on the day. We will remove that stock at our long-term target of 80. PANL, which we took off the list at 22 and change, had a very sharp update the other day, shooting from up 10% to 23. It's now retraced, and we're looking at this again as a possible add because it's a very interesting product and a very interesting long-term chart. But right now, the stock is in a sell mode, so I would be a little bit careful of it. When we get another buy signal on that stock, we may add it. We mentioned that BB&T was stopped out of our list at the 24 area. It's currently at 23.91. I would just note, we have questions on the financials and the XLF. The relative performance on financials remains very, very icky. I really can't, I'm sort of kicking myself for putting a financial on my list to begin with because it's one of the worst relative strength groups, but I like BB&T Bank, and it had a great yield, but it's trading very badly. Stocks like Bank of America, which we've been asked about, needs to hold 13 area. It's actually at new lows, though. And frankly, again, financials are an area that I would not be buying here. I would be looking much more at consumer discretionary, some of the technology stocks, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll talk about a couple of those towards the end of the call. Note also, utilities continue to look okay. If you want to be defensive, I would put money in the utility sector rather than healthcare. We've had some questions on Mosaic because it's related to CF. Mosaic has had a nice down open. The stock is near support in the 47 area on today's lows. It's rallied. This group looks to me like it is bottoming out and is probably going to be decent. We will look to add stocks in this area for a rally into the winter, assuming the market holds up and we get a good chance to do that. OSK, we had some questions on. The stock is at new short-term lows. Frankly, has nothing to recommend it. I think that that stock is probably in a void or a sale. Now let's get into a couple of the tech names. Apple. And Apple's interesting here, guys. It's open down. It's holding up okay, but it is actually starting to lag the technology index in general and some of the other tech stocks, some of the smaller tech stocks that we see. So what may actually happen here is the technology ETF may start to be an equal performer to the S&P rather than an outperformer, as it has been, simply because Apple is such a large component of it, and Apple has had such a big run and may start to go sideways and correct. Right now, for us, Apple is a hold at best. I don't think we would buy Apple unless the stock were to trade down to the 240 area and or break out above 280. We've had a lot of questions on Hewlett-Packard, and obviously, guys, there's no way to anticipate a news item like this. The only thing that we did see was, you know, the stock has broken down below the 42 lows area. Right now, frankly, it's an avoid to me. Frankly, that chart looks pretty hairy, and I just wouldn't want to do that one. On the other hand, IBM is trading extremely well, very close to its highs. If you want a big technology stock, IBM is a high-level consolidation, and that looks pretty worthwhile. With that, I'm going to move the call over to Jeff Garbaz, and we will take some questions from y'all after that.
Thanks, Fred. First question for you is, when we get into a really difficult market like we had yesterday, what typically happens with gold in those type of periods?
There isn't a typical response. Lately, gold has been trading up on those response on those types of markets, but I think that's a fear-based trade rather than anything else. A couple of years from now, the answer to that may be a completely different answer. But right now, gold is a good hedge and proxy for fear. By the way, what's interesting about that is if the fear is deflation, gold is something that does very badly in deflation normally. So having gold and bonds go up is sort of an interesting situation, but it's not suggesting deflationary fears.
Great. Also, can you comment on silver? Because silver's still been hanging in pretty good here as well.
Yeah, silver is trading reasonably well. Gold still looks a little bit better than silver in some respects. But if you wanted to try to buy the SLV in this area and look for 1880 on it, you probably could do that with a stop at 1710. And stronger silver means gold can be choppier or weak. So I'm just noting silver as a possible sort of canary in the coal mine for gold. But right now, both of these do look good.
Okay. Thoughts on IWM, where you would look to re-enter IWM on the long side?
I'm looking at that in the 59 area or so, maybe 60. If it holds in here, we'll make another determination on that. It's very interesting because on a long-term basis, the small and mid-cap space and the Russell 2000 are outperforming the S&P 500, and that's because the July lows on the Russell were higher than the February lows, whereas on the S&P, they were lower in July than they were in February. But on a very short-term basis, it looks like the market may be switching into big caps, and if that's the case, we may actually want to be buying big cap stock indexes and not the Russell. That's going to be something we're going to have to watch carefully over the next bit of time. I noticed that percent K, the main stochastic line on the Russell, is already down at 1655 on the IWM. A few more sideways days, we're going to have the moving average of that down in the 20s, and that'll actually be setting up for a buy, so we're going to watch that carefully.
Hey, Fred, along those lines and talking about the outperformance of the large cap, that started pretty recently as the dollar started kind of coming undone in the last month or so. A lot of the large caps have had a pretty nice rebound. Do you think that there's a correlation with that or there is not?
I think there is some. I think the reason is as the dollar comes down, multinational companies that get their earnings in foreign currencies as well as dollars have a tendency to do better, and I think that's a reflection of that. In the small and mid-cap space, you're pretty much betting on the American economy to do well, and that sort of American economy growth trade has been working until very recently. Now it looks like people are thinking that American growth is actually going to be revised down, and if that's the case, these small and mid-cap stocks may suddenly start to underperform. Generally, coming out of a recession, they underperform for 1 to 2 years. It's right on a year and a half of outperformance. So we're in the window where that could change, and that's something that we're looking for and watching to see if we think it is going to change. Right now, we do not. but another few weeks or months of this, and it could definitely be changing.
In your Fred Alert this morning, you talked a little bit about the McClellan oscillator potentially getting down to an oversold level. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes, and let's sort of take a look at the situation in the market a few days ago to see where that to see what that really means. When we were sitting up at 113 and looking like we were going to have a breakout, all of the short-term indicators were obviously overbought. And what happens under those circumstances, if you do break out, is those short-term indicators remain overbought. Now that we have failed to exceed that resistance, and I think we have to call this a failure, the chances are that those short-term indicators can move down again and become oversold, and then you get another rally attempt. The question is, if we're really going to trend down and we're going to break the July lows, those indicators will become very oversold. But normally, if the McClellan oscillator is going to give a decent buy signal in a short-term uptrend after being overbought, it's going to retrace to the minus 150 area or so. And we were at minus 101 yesterday, so another day of down breadth today could cause that to get to minus 150, which means we could actually start to turn up again as early as tomorrow if this market's going to hold up. And Jeff, when I really look at things, I don't think this is going to be a simple here we go straight down move. It looks like things are going to be a little more difficult than that, even for the bears. Don't forget, all of us bulls, me included, were a little bit nervous yesterday and thinking that all this sort of stuff is not going to work and that we've got some big problems. At the same time, all of the shorts were probably really, really excited at yesterday's action and adding short positions and generally being negative and looking for a break of the July lows. And I think short interest is going up a little bit, so there may be too many shorts for this thing to get down easily.
Okay. At this point, given that we've got a lot of emails that came in this morning, I will open it up for questions for people. Any questions for Fred? Remember to hit *6 to unmute yourself.
Fred, what do you have to say about eBay?
Let's have a quick look on eBay. That stock is actually up on the day and is holding on to support fairly neatly, short-term support being the 20 to 21 area. If that were to move above 2320, that looks pretty good, and that's in line with what I've been thinking, that some of the smaller technology stocks may actually outperform while Apple remains stagnant and the technology ETF itself remains stagnant. So that's the area I would be actually looking in to buy technology, some of these smaller names.
Hey, Fred, just some add-on color to that real quickly. It did get an upgrade this morning from Citi. And second, it's got earnings behind it, so there's no earnings risk like there was with Cisco coming into today.
Fantastic. That's good news. Thank you.
Okay. Any more? More for Fred?
Anything else on Telefonica?
What's the symbol on that?
TEF.
TEF. That has got support in the 65-66 area. It is still up on the moving averages. I would continue to hold this, although you need to see it through 72 to continue the uptrend. It would not be surprising to me at all to see this stock trade in a range from 65 to 72 for a while. Much below 65, you're going to get a big drop down to 62 most likely.
Thank you.
More questions?
How about Cisco, Fred?
You know, Cisco's right down on very short-term support in the 21 area, and I've been sort of looking at the long-term chart of that because, you know, Julia, if you wanted to start a position in Cisco with the idea that you're going to be buying it between here and 19, if it were to do that, that's probably not a bad thing. You know, it may not break 21. But you have to be willing to let it go to 19 if you buy it here. But there's enough support in this general area, and the weekly chart looks decent enough that this stock actually is probably short-term viable.
Thank you.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Can you take a look at First Energy FE and Petrobras?
FE. It's still a short-term uptrend with 35.40 area support, basically 35 to 35.40, and energy looks pretty decent. Utilities are a decent sector. The stochastic is down almost to oversold. In fact, if we have a couple of updates on this stock from here, your daily stochastic is going to go positive. So this is one I could nibble at.
How about
and Petrobras is PBR, right?
Yeah.
Good old Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's also holding up. It's trading in line with oil with support in the 34 to 34.50 area. And I think oil is going to start to do well into the fall, into the winter. Fall, you can be a little bit weak on oil. I have no reason to sell this. If I were going to add to it, I would see if I could add to it closer to 34.50 to 34 support. But it's a hold for me. It's actually trading pretty well.
Thanks.
Hey, Fred, how about UNH, Uniform November Hotel?
It's right down to, right down to support in the 31 area. And I have to say, guys, healthcare looks a little bit better to me now than it has over the last few months because we had a nice surge in accumulation last week on my healthcare ETF. And this is one of the better-looking healthcare stocks. So, Jeff, if you're in this, I'd hold it. If I wasn't in it, I'd buy it from here down to 30.10, and I'd buy it slowly. It looks decent. Again, if the market really takes a zap to the downside here, this is probably going to head for 29 or so. But right now, it looks decently appealing.
Fred, Internet Networks, INAP.
INET or AT?
AP, Alex Paul.
Alex Paul, thank you. That's a little tiny bit negative until it gets above 525. It's also cheap, which means that it's a little bit harder to read. I would say if there's a fundamental reason to look to buy this stock, you'd be wanting to look to buy it around 425.
Okay. Thank you.
Fred, how about ESRX?
ESRX.
Echo
is that Express Trips or TSRX?
Echo Sierra.
Echo Sierra. ESRX. That's actually also trading decently with a fair amount of support at 43.50, but a gap at 42. So this is one, again, it's a little bit of a wedge formation. This is one I could buy. I'd be very excited if it went above 49.50, and I can see it going all the way back to 42. So, again, if you're going to start to buy this, look for it to possibly hold this area and go up, but I wouldn't be completely dismayed unless it went below 42 where that gap is.
Okay.
More questions for Fred? Hey, Fred, I got one or two more for you while we're waiting to see if anyone else comes in. Thoughts on semiconductors, specifically the SMH and the SOX here, because they've kind of come down to levels they've hit before. How important is it for them to kind of hold, you know, these levels?
Obviously, we want them to hold this level, these levels, because this is the June-July lows, and what would be sort of nasty would be to break these lows, because the objective on the SMH would then be around 19. And this has been one of the weaker technology sectors, actually, which is a little bit of a surprise. My favorite proxy for stocks in that index is Intel, and Intel's also down around 1960. The next support on Intel is around 1650 after that, so that would be in line. So my guess is the SOX we got to be a little bit careful of as measured, especially by the SMH. Much below 25, we've got some problems.
Okay, great. Next question for you, which is kind of a big hypothetical. For some strange reason, a lot of crashes seem to occur on Fridays and also on 13s. And tomorrow is obviously Friday the 13th. Any reason to put anything into that, or is that just, you know, an old wives' tale?
you know, that may be an old wives' tale. I would have to go and look at some of Chris Carolan's work on that with the spiral calendar and all that to see. He did a lot of work with key dates and stuff. Friday the 13th has always been a lucky day for me. And I should mention, some of you longstanding members on the call know about the MHI, or Meissner Haircut Indicator. And I am getting my haircut today at 2:30, so the market may actually reverse up tomorrow due to that. For some reason, when I have to get a haircut to do something, the market ends up reversing direction in the next day. So we just have to see. But no, Friday the 13th, Jeff, I think the key thing to remember, though, is real crashes, like the crash of 87 or the crash, you know, that we had after the September 11th attacks, have a tendency to occur at the end of moves and not at the beginning of moves. And if we're going to have a crash, I think we're at the beginning of the down move, not the end of it. So I guess what I'm saying is we have to watch carefully here and obey our risk management, because if this thing starts to accelerate to the downside with the light volume we've been seeing, and don't forget, guys, we've been seeing light volume on rallies and also light volume on declines. If volume starts to come in a direction, the market could certainly build up a head of steam. That's what I guess that's my real concern, and that's why I want to watch my risk management parameters here. Try not to second guess myself.
Michael,
yes, sir.
On the line.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, if something should happen like midday on Friday or when you're not publishing normally, are you going to put out some kind of email alert for us?
Yes, I will put out an email alert. The other thing we have the capability to do is schedule an impromptu conference call, and if things were to get really, really nasty, we would even do that. But, yeah, I have the ability to put out intraday alerts and would do it. I have a tendency not to do that because your response then tends to be emotional rather than watching where the indicators close. But if something were really to happen, yes, I could do that, and I'm in contact with my team. And certainly if you feel that something like that is warranted, if anyone on the call feels that, you're free to email me. And if I get enough emails to that effect, I will put out an alert.
One last question.
Thank you.
The volume is light on up days. The volume is light on down days. August is typically like vacation month and a month when it is trading is light. So does that correspond?
It does, absolutely. You know, I just mentioned the light volume because people are using the volume as an argument for the bullish or bearish case. I mean, a couple of the bears are saying volume was light on the advance. A couple of bulls are now saying volume's light on the decline. I would mention that a lot of markets tend to peak in August, but I think everybody and their grandmother is looking for that, and that's why I've been a little bit more of the opinion that as a little bit of time goes by, the market's going to start to discount gridlock. And guys, I mean, this is going to sound funny, but the fact is, if you want no government intervention in the economy, there are two ways to get that. One way is to elect people that aren't going to intervene in the economy. The other way is to elect such a disparate group of people, they're not going to be able to agree on anything, and therefore they will not be able to intervene in the economy. The second way is obviously a lot more expensive and annoying, but the net result is the same. And, you know, unless there is a material change in the employment numbers and such by November, the sentiment that I read out there is that we're going to see some big changes and possibly gridlock. And I think that would actually be good for the markets and not bad. So, I mean, traditionally it was. If you look at the latter part of Clinton's career, President Clinton had gridlock, and that was one of the best times we've ever seen for the stock market, and actually one of the best times we ever saw for the United States. So gridlock is not a bad thing, and I think as the market starts to discount that, the market can actually start to do better.
Hey, Fred, any more questions for Fred before we wrap up? Because there's one last point I'd like to make with Fred.
Hey, Fred, this is Tom. Just on a couple of dividend ETFs, SDY and DVF, where do they look
SDY,
like
that? SDY, that is, on the weekly chart, one of the classic Richard Pryor formations. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. It trades a little thin, and Tom, I mean, I like this. If you were to get it down to 1170, which would be a little bit of a surprise, that would be a great place to buy it. What was your second one, Tom?
Well, they were SDY, Sam Dog Yellow, and DVF.
Okay, because FDD is also a dividend. DBF.
Yeah.
Let's see. That looks okay. And FDY. Frederick David, yes?
Sam David Yellow.
That's where I was. Sam David, yes. Okay. That is trading substantially better than the S&P, and it's something that I could feel comfortable owning. If you were to get that to 45.90, I would add to that position, and the stochastic is coming down neatly.
Thanks.
These dividend funds all look pretty decent, actually, and I don't have any real problem with them.
Hey, Fred, one more ETF that came up that looks interesting, OIH. Thoughts on OIH here?
Sure, yeah. Right near support on today's low, so a lot of support between 96 and 100. It's outperforming the S&P a little bit short-term, but longer-term, no. By and large, I think the XLE looks in some ways a little tiny bit better, but I do think you want to be accumulating oils, have a position in these by September or so, with the idea that October, November, December oil is going to be up.
Okay. Yesterday we were talking, this is kind of like just a conversation that you and I were having, and you had an interesting point, which I think is one worth sharing. We were talking about the fact that, you know, about 2 months ago, Prechter came out and called for the end of the world. And I think this is an interesting point to relay to people. You basically said to me that if that scenario was ever going to play out, which you consider to be very remote, now would be the time that it would have to get going to occur. Can you kind of elaborate for people on that a little bit?
I will. Prechter's argument has been that the S&P is basically etching out the same pattern that the Dow Industrials etched out after the 1929 crash, that we rallied up to the breakdown point and then turned around and went down very slowly, but every single day for a couple of years, basically, and the market fell from 1930 to 1932. And if you go back and you read the history of the time, the books written at the time, even the market professionals that missed the crash of 29 were pounded into the earth in 1930 to 1932, and the reason was they kept trying to buy value, and value kept getting to be more and more and more valuable. Stocks just went down and down and down and down until finally at the bottom in 1932, there was no interest in stocks. The S&P has the exact same formation on it and has stopped pretty much in the exact same place that the Dow Industrials had and stopped in 1930. However, there are some key differences, and we'll have to see, but I think these are important. We've talked about these before, the main one being the small and mid-cap stocks back then peaked in 1927 and did not rally from 1929 to 1930. The advanced decline line went down and basically never came back up, whereas in this case, it did come back up. However, history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes, and that may be one of the differences that we have if Prechter is going to be right. But if we do not turn over here and just drop and drop and drop, and instead send the SPX back up through those highs around 1160 to 1200, the analog that people are using is frankly just not, there's no way to play it out. It will have broken. And for those of you that are not familiar with analogs, a lot of the time technical market analysts will look at a market and say, well, golly, it looks like the market from X, and it's trading exactly identical with that. For example, in the crash of 87, the Dow Industrials traded identical to Japan to 1929 when the market crashed and came back up. And that continued through November, and then all of a sudden changed, and obviously we went from around 1,700 to around 11,000, which I consider to be a fairly strong move. No facetiousness intended. But, you know, these patterns have a tendency to duplicate themselves for a while and then go away. And what would make Prechter's pattern go away would be the S&P moving back above 1,200. If that were to happen, I just don't see how anyone following that Elliott wave argument could stick with that and say that we're going to go to, say, 100 on the S&P. So this is our best chance. We failed at 1,200. We've come down. We've rallied up. We failed at resistance. If we can start to take out 1,000, that analog is still in effect. And theoretically, the S&P could keep going down and down and down. We just have to see. My guess is that's not going to occur. My guess is that the Prechter analog is not going to work, and it hasn't really worked for years. But that's what I was saying, Jeff, if that makes any sense.
No, I think that's a really good description. I think that really helps people out because it's something that, you know, gets thrown out there as a little data point that people talk about. So I think you did a great job today, kind of holding everyone's hand through this little tough period we're going through. And with that, I'll turn it back to you to finish up.
Okay. In case there are any new subscribers on the call, one last chance to ask questions. Hit star 6 on your phone. Okay, with that, I will wrap up the Fred Report technical market call for August 12th. We will see you next week, and thank you for your support and interest. Sorry this is a difficult time, but it's not always easy. Bye now.